Create Your Own Life, episode 137.
You're listening to the Create Your Own Life podcast, the show to help you create life on your terms. 3 days a week, Jeremy Ryan Slate interviews the most successful people in business and in life to help you create the life you want to create. Welcome to Life Creation Nation.
This episode is sponsored by HostGator. I've hosted my sites with HostGator for a bunch of years now because, number one, they're fast to work with. Number two, the hosting platform itself is great for what you're actually able to do with it. And another thing is actually being able to host your email as well. So it's a really big deal. Go over to jeremyryanslate.com/hosting to get started with HostGator today. This episode is sponsored by Audible. If you're like me and you're a podcast listener, which if you're listening to the show, you most likely are, then you listen to a lot of audiobooks. So if you head over to jeremyryanslate.com/book, you can get your free audiobook from Audible. So be sure to check that out. Hey, everybody. Jeremy here. Welcome to the latest episode of Create Your Own Life. Happy to have everybody back, and I hope you really enjoyed last episode where we talked to Samantha Skelly about how she took her extreme struggle with an eating disorder and really created an amazing business out of it, which she was able to help a lot of other people really get successful. But she dove into the nuts and bolts of how she really started her business, Hungry for Happiness. Today we have a little bit of a different slant, but it's still a big struggle story. Just want to remind you guys before we get into today's guest, if you've been enjoying the show and want to help me spread the message, the best way to do that is, number one, for you to share us on Facebook. Number two is to head over to iTunes and leave us a review. It helps more people to discover the show, and it's really a big help flow to us, so I would love it if you could do that. Today's guest is Bedros Koulian. He actually was recently featured on Lewis Howes' School of Greatness talking about masterminds, but we really dug into his story here about how he was an immigrant from Armenia, escaping communism, came here, and things just didn't quite work out right away, to the point that his family was eating out of garbage cans to survive. He went from there, created what he calls the immigrant edge, went on to build several successful businesses, his best known being Fit Body Bootcamp, a huge franchise nationwide, in addition to being very big in the internet marketing space and also giving some really great direction in masterminds. So I'm really excited to dive into Bedros' story with you today and share with you just where he's been, how he got out of those places, and how he created his own life in a bigger way. So without further ado, let's get into our interview with Bedros Koulian. So I'm really stoked for our guest today on the Create Your Own Life podcast. It's a guy I've been following for a number of years, given my fitness background. His name is Bedros Koulian. Bedros, welcome to the Create Your Own Life podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Totally. I want to kind of start out with your immigrant background, Bedros, because I think that's really the underlying thing that makes you, you know, as tenacious as you are. Could you just give us that story of what it was like for you coming to America and you know, the immigrant edge that you have and how you developed that?
Sure. Yeah. So back in 1980, I was 6 years old. My father decided that we're going to escape communist Russia, specifically Armenia, but at the time it was under Soviet Union rule. And he paid the Russian government off $25,000 at the time. And let me tell you, it took him 6 years to raise that money. So that we can escape. And so we escaped communist Russia into Italy. We went from Italy into the American consulate, and from there entered the United States legally. And I stress that because my father has all just instilled in me that whenever you say how we arrived to this United States, you let everybody know that we entered legally. And his belief system, and I agree to this, is that when you enter, when you pay the price to enter somewhere legally, mm-hmm. you have greater value for that place. You are willing to contribute and make an impact for that place and not just to suck the value out of that place. And you know, that might be a controversial view for some people. I don't know. I don't care. But that is my father's view, and that is the view that I've adopted. And so as we came to the United States. Now, I have to draw the picture for you here, Jeremy, that in Armenia, my dad was part of the 18% of the population that was a member of the Communist Party. And when you are a member of the Communist Party, you actually live a pretty good life. There's still oppression, and the KGB walks into your house whenever they want and check out whatever they want if they want to. But you have a better life. You get some perks. And right. So the man was willing to leave a better life to come to this country. We were broke. We only had $250 in his pocket, family of five. And when we got here, even though we came to a country of freedom and opportunity, we realized very quickly that without knowing the language, without having any skill set that can translate into money, and without having any direct money in our hands, we were dumpster diving to eat food. We were renting out the $250 that he paid to someone for the five of us to stay in their spare bedroom of an apartment for like 2 or 3 weeks. And in that time, my dad had 3 or 4 jobs pumping gas, delivering newspapers. My brother and sister, who are significantly older than me, worked at a pizzeria and were also delivering newspapers at 3 in the morning. My mom had a job, and I was the kid that was kind of left all alone in this apartment, in someone else's apartment in the spare bedroom. But that's what we did to survive. And so really, this immigrant edge comes from a guy named Rob Yeager. He's my videographer for all the videos I put out. And one day between filming videos, it was actually early 2009, and I launched Fit Body Boot Camp right around that time. And he goes, "You are nuts." And I go, "Why do you think I'm nuts, Rob?" He said, "Well, here the economy just crashed. The housing market's a mess. Giant banks that we never thought would go out of business are going out of business. And you're launching an international franchise, and you're making videos with such enthusiasm and passion as though people are actually going to pay you for this franchise." I said, "Well, of course they are." He goes, "You know what you have? You've got the immigrant edge." I said, "Rob, tell me more about that." And he said, "Well, the immigrant edge, man, you've got that thing where you've seen such oppression, you've seen such setbacks in your life that you just organically, no matter how bad the economy is here, you still live a happy life, and you know that you have more opportunity here than you would have anywhere else." And so that immigrant edge mentality stuck. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that's all it is I've seen such contrast in my life and the opportunities I've had that I know that no matter how bad it gets here in any westernized free country, that we have it infinitely better. And we have greater opportunities than anywhere else on this planet. And the only thing we need to do is work hard to actually reap the rewards.
Absolutely. And that's like a really huge point too, because I don't know if you've heard of Patrick Bet-David, but I had Patrick on the show not too long ago, and he actually grew up in a camp in Germany after having to flee Iran because of the revolution. And it's just, you know, you guys have seen such, you know, having to work through things that you're just not as lazy as a lot of Americans. And I say this as somebody that grew up here and was raised here. And I really applaud you for, you know, taking that and pushing forward, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I want to get a little bit into your marketing background, because I know you had a transformation yourself that brought you into fitness as a personal trainer, but it's becomes very difficult to make some real good sustainable money as as your everyday trainer a lot of times. Can you tell us a story of how you ended up into marketing? Because I think it's actually a really cool story.
Yeah. So actually a funny story, because I was supposed to be a smog technician, man. I was supposed to be that guy that you would bring your car to, especially if you're in like California, parts of New York. A lot of states don't have, you know, smog laws, but California does. And so you would bring your car to me and some auto shop that I would work at, and I would stick the probe in the tailpipe and punch it through the computer. And if your car's emissions are not so high, then you would be able to register your car for that year. You know, I always thought throughout high school and elementary school, I loved cars and loved to tinker with cars. And so that was my path until the summer of 10th grade, of 11th grade, when I realized the following year, prom was coming up, and I was this overweight kid. I had about 35 pounds of fat to lose. I'd never worked out. I was effectively invisible throughout high school. I never played any sports. I was never on any debate team or anything of that sort. Probably the most I don't know, community involved thing I did was taking a home ec class.
Right.
So I kept myself invisible. So, but the bottom line there is that I knew I wanted to go to prom, and there was this girl that I, in one of my classes, that would talk to me. Her name was Nakaya, and I just had a crush on her. So my goal was, hey, next year when prom comes up, I'm going to ask Nakaya to the prom, and that's that. Well, that summer, the summer before senior year, I started reading Muscle magazines and, you know, going through Flex magazine, Shape magazine, Muscle and Fitness magazine. You name the publication that had to do with fitness and nutrition and being active, I read it and applied it. And I came back to school senior year having lost 30 pounds of fat, and everybody was just like, holy crap, you're a different person. Who are you? So while I never had the nerve to ask Nakaya to the prom, and so I never went to prom, that summer completely changed the trajectory of my life, and I became so much more outgoing. I had established a sense of confidence about me that I didn't have, that I said, when I leave high school, I want to go and become a certified personal trainer and help other people achieve this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that was my kind of catapult into the fitness world. And of course, you know, you think that, okay, now that I look great and I'm certified and I've got my education, people are going to flock to me because look how overweight everybody is. And they all talk about losing weight. Well, as you know, Jeremy, nobody really comes to us.
Right.
We have to prospect and market and sell ourselves and influence and persuade. And I didn't know any of that stuff.
Well, and not to mention, once you have them, the gyms take such a big cut of, you know, what you're working for too.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's actually the case that I was in. I was actually had a couple, I had two clients, embrace yourself on this one. I had two clients that I was charging $14 an hour to train at their home. So I'd go visit them after work. And then in the big box gym in LA Fitness, I was getting paid $12 an hour to train clients who were paying $45 an hour to the gym.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I realized real quickly that I was broke. I wanted to make more money. And one of my clients kind of took mercy on me. His name is Jim Franco. And I said, Jim, you know, you come here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You've got this energy about you, and you're 65 years old. Like, you should be an old man, and you should be drinking, and you're not. And you want to build your body. Like, how do you do it? You know, he goes, listen, you're a technician right now. You need to become a salesperson. You need to be evangelical about your product, and you're not. You don't know how to market yourself. So he kind of exposed me to my first to the world of sales and marketing. He gave me a Tom Hopkins sales tape that led to Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy led to, let's see, Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar led to Jay Abraham. Jay Abraham led to Dan Kennedy. Kennedy led to Halbert. And before you know it, I was studying. Again, just like when I was fat and I was reading through all these publications to get fit, now I was consuming from the fire hydrant of marketing, influence, persuasion, and sales as though my life depended on it. Because at that point, it's worth telling you that at that point, while I was talking to Jim Franco and asking him how he became so successful, I was a personal trainer in a big box gym. I had two clients that I trained twice a week in their homes who paid me a whopping $14 per hour. I was also a fry cook at Disneyland. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, I was a bouncer at a gay bar.
Wow.
And that's because the gay bar paid more than the straight bar. Yeah. And the reason for that, I found out about a week and a half later after they hired me, was because skinheads come and wait in the parking lot of a gay nightclub, especially in that time in the mid-90s. And they were looking to gay bash, so they were waiting for the nightclub to give out, and then of course fights would break out. So it was our job as bouncers to make sure everyone gets to their car safe. So we'd end up getting in fights, and I am not a fighter. I'd rather talk my way out of a fight any day. So you can imagine how great my pain was when I had these two other jobs that I didn't have passion towards, and all I wanted to do was help people. So Jim really turned me on to this magical world of marketing, selling, persuasion, and making offers, and my life has forever changed.
Well, if you had to look at it, Bedros, would you say that it's your marketing, or is there some other skill that really allowed you to turn a single location into, you know, a bunch of locations and later a franchise? Because I feel like there's so many gym owners and trainers that really can't make money from even one location.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And again, I'm going to be a little crass, maybe politically incorrect here, but this is the best analogy I can give you. There's two types of entrepreneurs. There's the entrepreneur that mechanically goes through the motions of marketing. It's like, okay, well, you know, I see Russell Brunson and he talks about funnels and click funnels, and Bedros talks about email marketing, so I'll just, you know, throw up some words on an email and hit send, and I know Facebook is good for me, so I'll run a Facebook ad and it'll be like, get 20% off personal training, and these people don't even know, like, or trust you, and so you wonder why no one's trying to buy personal training from you for even a whopping 20% off. And so it's this mechanical thing. And then there's people that are evangelical, that believe in their product so much and believe that they are put on this planet with a purpose and a gift, and their obligation and duty is to share that gift with people. And when you come from that place, then you decide that I'm going to understand marketing in ways that the guy who markets mechanically doesn't. And when I hit an obstacle and roadblock, I'm going to plow through it. Where he hits an obstacle and roadblock, he's going to fall and not get up. And so the example I gave at a workshop one time was very fitting. And so I like to share that example with you right now, which is, you know, there's two ways to have sex, man. You can just have mechanical sex and be done with it, or you can make love, like life-changing, planets exploding, you know, hamstring cramping, hair pulling, lovemaking, right? And I stress this because, listen, both ways we can procreate and produce a child, but I'm guessing that most people listening to this want to have that life-changing, you know, world-stopping lovemaking session and not just mechanical sex. And so the same applies in your business. If you're mechanically going through it because you've decided that fitness is good and that you like fitness, well, then my challenge to you is that you need to decide that fitness is great and that you love fitness and that you're a soldier of fitness, and your obligation is to give everybody who needs your service an opportunity and offer to get on board with you. And when you come with that level of intensity and obsession about marketing, selling, and promoting yourself because you bleed that stuff, then all of a sudden you just grow because people are attracted. People can sense that passion and purpose versus the mechanicalness of just going through the motions. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's more than just like a mindset thing, man. It's like almost like a total like way of being, that you're so magnetic that other people just want to be attracted to that.
Exactly right.
Well, for yourself, Bedros, how long did it take you once you started your first location and started expanding? How long did it take you to be profitable?
So my first location took me a year and a half. Believe it or not, because I kind of felt like I better study a lot more information and take smaller steps and not be as aggressive and take such risks. And so what I really had done is I had bought so much equipment that I had a massive debt to pay off to Jim Franco. Believe it or not, Jim Franco was my business partner in my first location. I opened my next four locations on my own, and then ultimately got into coaching and consulting the fitness industry for a decade. And then from there launched Fit Body Bootcamp, which has now become an international franchise. But it took me a year and a half to get profitable in my first location. That's simply because I took my sweet old time, which in hindsight I should not have. The second location, third location, fourth location after that, we would literally find the community that we're going to go into. And once I signed a lease and had an address, while my location is being built out, me and my team, which, by the way, my team was just two other people,
right,
would hit the community. We would put 200 lead boxes out everywhere in the community. We would talk to local small business owners and say, hey, we're opening up Premier Results right down the street next to that Albertsons supermarket. It's a 2,500 square foot boutique personal training facility. You guys get to come there and work out absolutely for free. No, not with a trainer, but we let them work out for free and just took. Now, most of them didn't even take us up on that offer. But again, using Cialdini's, you know, and everybody listening to this should read Robert Cialdini's book, Influence. Using Cialdini's laws of reciprocity, when I come to you and go, hey, Jeremy, listen, we're your neighbors right down the street. You know, you run a day spa here. That's fantastic. If you and your staff ever want to come work out there, let us know. We'll even show you what kind of program to do on your own And oh, by the way, if there's ever a client that you think could use fitness or fat loss goals, refer them to us, and we'd love to give you $100 as a referral bonus. And so we would go in there with lead boxes everywhere and inviting all the local business owners. This is pre-Facebook, pre-Groupon, pre-all that stuff. And man, we would literally open the doors, and within weeks, we'd have our grand opening where we invited the community to come out to our location. We had a fire truck that we would donate money to for a fire station. And so everybody put $5 in a raffle so that they can win 3 months of free personal training. And of course, we would match the $5. And so maybe we gave like, whatever, $1,200 to the fire station after the grand opening. And we had all these leads, and it took all but anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks to break even. And then after that, it was just all profits, because we now found a way to prospect pre-opening instead of open and then slowly and systematically put one pole in the water.
Absolutely. And the funny thing about that is I think a lot of people couldn't replicate what you did because they're just not willing to put in that type of action. You know what I mean? Like I know for myself, when I started my own personal training business, I went door to door doing surveys to tell people who I was. And that's really what you guys were doing, was controlling the motion and just hitting the pavement and moving, man.
That's absolutely right. And I bet you went to a lot of doors where people said, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, leave my house.
Right. And so you've got to get thick skin, and you have to realize that they're not rejecting you. They're just rejecting the fact that you want to take some of their time. And so if you don't personalize that rejection or that criticism, then you just go on to the next door or to the next business, and you just do your thing, because that's what God has put you on this planet here to do.
Absolutely. And was there like a light bulb moment for you? Because it seems like once you kind of got that first thing going and got over the, you know, I have to be careful, you know, you've started so many businesses. Was there one thing that you kind of realized there that made you move forward faster, quicker, and expand?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was driving to one of my locations. At that point, I had 5 locations. This was probably 2001, right before I sold the locations and got into coaching and consulting. And I was reading Multiple Income Streams. What is his name? Robert Allen's book. Actually listening to it on audio on a DVD set or a CD set. Multiple Income Streams. And he blew my mind when he's like, you know, you don't just have to be in the one industry. And he used an example of an author who is an expert at something and then writes a book. And then because of that book becomes a consultant. And so he may have a business, a brick and mortar business. He's got his book sales that he's making money from and his business, and he's got his consulting that he's making money from. And before you know it, the ball rolls. And I was like, holy crap, multiple income streams. Yeah, so I can coach, I can consult. There's nothing stopping me from really going, instead of narrow and deep, going deep and wide across the fitness industry. And today I own multiple companies that are doing, well, multiple 7 figures. I'm partnered and own equity in other companies outside of the fitness industry. And it was really all credited to Robert Allen's book, man.
And was that really that thing that made you realize franchising was going to be a big income stream for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I realized, well, it was that. And it was also the fact that even though trainers would buy my programs and would get coaching and consulting from me, they inevitably still didn't have the system. So they had the way of getting leads, of delivering the results, of converting leads into paying clients, but they didn't have a system to replicate and duplicate and grow into multiple locations like I had done. That took a sense of discipline, and that took a team, and that took systems. And so I realized real quickly that, hey, these guys and gals are stuck. And I asked them, if I created a brand that was so systemized that you can replicate and duplicate, would you get on board? About half of my coaching clients said yes. I said, fantastic. I want you to meet Fit Body Bootcamp. And that's how it all started.
Wow. Well, I want to kind of transition a little bit, because you had an amazing interview with Lewis Howes where you talked about masterminds. And I know myself and a lot of our audience, we keep hearing about, you know, needing to be part of a mastermind. But if someone's considering either starting one or getting into it, what should they really pay attention to so, you know, they can get the most value, but they can also provide the most value to others?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So there's like a short list of the most important things. And the very, very top thing on that list is that as an expert, Jeremy, you and I know so much knowledge just because our time in the trenches and the amount of work we've done in that time. You know, I'm 42 years old, but I tell people who are in their 60s and 70s, once I work with them on some level, they go, holy cow, you've got like this, like 10 decades of business experience under your belt. And I said, yeah, I've just worked harder than anybody else that I've come across. And so we have so much knowledge and wisdom to share. And anyone listening to this who wants to start a coaching program, mastermind program, has so much knowledge and wisdom to share. We sometimes just throw up all that knowledge on our coaching clients, and believe it or not, it actually overwhelms them, and they begin to get into the state of paralysis. And so the number one thing I would tell a coach, if you want to add the most value, is you have to understand, one, what type of client is across from you. So if you're running a mastermind, like for example, I have a mastermind called the 7-Figure Formula Mastermind. It's for fitness business owners. If you own a boot camp, personal training studio, a CrossFit box, whatever. And one guy that comes to mind is Josh Carter. You might have heard of Josh Carter. He's now a legend in our industry, and he works with us here at FitBody. He launched Carter Fitness back in the day, about 10 years ago. He was one of my first coaching clients. And I remembered even back then, every time I would tell him, you know, kind of offline marketing strategies, like, yeah, go to this business, put out a lead box, go here and talk to these business owners. He kept asking me, well, what can I do online? What are the SEO things I can do? What is the email marketing stuff I can do? And I realized real quickly that Josh, his strength lies in hiding behind the computer and creating ads and promotions and doing SEO and web stuff, because he was just organically good at it. That was factory installed for him.
Right.
And then there was another guy, his name is James Simpson, and James has got the gift of gab. Man, you could meet James and you'll be like, he's my best friend. How did I never not know this guy? And now James loves, he gets frustrated when he's in front of the computer. He's good at it, but he is great at going and talking to people and building relationships and having those people drive the traffic from their business into his business. And so one, you have to figure out who is the person in front of me and what's factory installed for them. And two, you have to give them the what I call the low-hanging fruit. You have to give them the low-hanging fruit action step, typically one or two things only, for them to go and execute and immediately to see results from. In the sales world, they call that a confidence boost, where you give a salesperson a lay-down deal, like you know it's a done deal. You have your newest salesperson close that deal, and it gives them a confidence boost. Mm-hmm. And in the entrepreneurial world, it's the same thing. We're personal trainers. We open up a gym. We're passionate about helping people, but we have no business skills. So if I can figure out that you're good behind the computer and I can give you one or two things you can do using technology to get leads and convert them quickly into paying clients, you're going to have a confidence boost, an income boost, and now you're going to say, hey, man, I've got newer problems. And typically those newer problems are first world problems, like I got so many clients, I need to hire another trainer. What do I do next? Right? So that's the thing number one and two that you can do as a coach and to add the most amount of value to a client across from you. Now, as far as to get the most value yourself, oftentimes I see too many people starting masterminds where they charge too little. Their philosophy is, if I charge you less, I can get you to become a client easier. Well, that's all good and true. But then you quickly realize that if you're running a mastermind, it is very labor intensive. I mean, you have to be passionate about it. I love getting on the phone with my coaching clients. I love doing a Skype with my coaching clients, being face to face in a mastermind for a weekend. And so if you're afraid of that labor, or you feel that you're undercharging for that, you can't go to them and say, I want to charge more. Right. And so, you know, typically if you charge too little, you're not going to be motivated enough to help them. And quite honestly, you're not going to run the masterminds well. You're not going to have them at nice hotels, at nice venues, take them out to nice dinners. And at the end of the day, a mastermind is really your highest level thing, and it should be the Rolls Royce of your service. I actually went to signed up for a mastermind where I was paying $4,000 a month to a marketing expert, and I joined his mastermind. And after 2 months, I dropped out because, one, he was holding it in his office and we were all crowded around office chairs and bean bags and stuff like that. Number two, lunch was served from Subway. His secretary went and took everyone's order from Subway. Now, if you're paying $4,000 a month, I'm taking you to a nice hotel in Las Vegas, San Diego, or Miami. That's where I hold my masterminds. We're eating at the best restaurants. we're in giant conference rooms, and we're being served amazing breakfast, lunches, and dinners. And part of the mastermind process is experience, because it's about the environmental exposure of taking a entrepreneur and putting them into a place where they realize, holy crap, this could be my lifestyle. Here's how I could live if I really step up. No one wants to strive to become a person that eats Subway sandwiches at lunch, but everybody strives to live in Miami, San Diego, Las Vegas, and live that lifestyle. So I believe in also changing your environment and exposing you to things that you haven't been exposed to, because that does have a shift and an impact on the way you market, sell, and promote your business.
That's an awesome point, Bedros, because I've really never heard that anywhere before about, you know, really getting into that experience of what it's like to be there. That's awesome, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you mentioned skill set before. If you had to look at yourself as an entrepreneur, what skill set have you paid the most attention to developing?
That's a great question, man. And quite honestly, it has been the skill set of communication. Because in our brains, in our hearts, we all know what it is that we offer, how amazing that product or service is, the kind of impact it will make, and the contribution that you will have. But if you cannot communicate that message clearly, with passion, and with definitive purpose, then the person across from you, whether they're across a web page, a video, face-to-face, a group seminar you're running, a podcast like this, if I cannot articulate and communicate my core values to you and what I offer to change your life, you're never going to want to come and get on my email list and to get to know, like, and trust me and to do business with me. And so I found that where more people are spending too much time on learning to market and sell, that's all great and fantastic. But if you can't communicate in writing, in speaking, in body language, you are fucked.
Yep. Absolutely. That is probably, in my personal experience, the biggest thing too. Awesome. When you've dealt with a lot of different entrepreneurs, where do you see most of them going wrong, Bedros?
Most of them just don't think big enough. That's what it is. And I was there too. I just didn't think big enough. And I thought one business, one location is great. And Jim was like, are you nuts? You have to scale, kid. And I go, what do you mean scale? He goes, you're done growing in this location. It's time to expand to a new location. I'm like, oh, okay, wow, I have two locations. I've made it, right? And he goes, no. You need to have a chain of these locations so that one day you might get the opportunity to sell them. And that's exactly what happened several years later. And so most people don't think big enough. They don't think big enough by way of income. They don't think big enough by way of income impact. And they don't think big enough of themselves that they have the capability to actually achieve the outcome they want. So anyone listening to this, it's a young entrepreneur, think 10 times bigger. Going back to Grant Cardone's book, 10X Rule, think 10 times bigger and take 10 times faster action than you currently do today. If I can go back and change one thing, it would be that.
Absolutely. Well, Bedros, we're about to come in for a landing, but before we do, are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Lay it on me.
This episode is sponsored by iBoom Media. iBoom has done so much for my social media, growing my Instagram following from 1,500 to now well over 9,000, and taking my Twitter from 400 to now over 4,000. It's been incredible what they've done for me, and they get you real followers, people that actually interact. You can check them out over at www.iboommedia.com. You're selected to give a commencement speech. What topic do you cover and why?
Oh, man, that's a good one. All right, so the topic is going to be to find out why you're put on this planet for as fast as you can. Find out what your gift and your purpose is. And the why is so that you can have a fulfilled life. I really believe that we as humans are much like German Shepherd dogs, where we need a purpose in life. We, like a German Shepherd dog, I've got a dog who's part German Shepherd, and when she is not out chasing the ball and then corralling my kids around and then, you know, walking to the left side of my body like she needs, she feels as though she falls into a depression. Like, German Shepherds are known to fall into a depression if they don't have a purpose. And so we as humans, when you think about how many people right now, society, the amount of prescription drugs for depression, anxiety are at an all-time high right now because people are too busy fucking around on wasteful things and not busy enough checking internally into their heart and seeing, what am I put on this planet for? What is my gift? What is my passion? What is my purpose? And then how can I share that with the world so that I can feel good about myself? Because we all want to make a impact, and we all want contribution, and we want to leave a legacy. And so in that way, that would be my commencement speech, and I like to think it would go over well.
Absolutely. Well, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's, you know, moving around without purpose for a long time until they find that. So being able to find that right away, I think would really, really help.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a quote that's led you in your journey?
Yes, yes. I did get this quote from a gentleman named Doug. He was my area manager when I was a fry cook at Disneyland. And the quote is, circumstance does not change responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Taking total responsibility for your life, man. Totally.
That's it.
What's one book that's had a big effect on your life?
Oh, man. One book. Boy, you're really... All right, it's either. Oh man! All right,
I've seen the size of some of those bookshelves behind you, man. So I understand.
It's either Napoleon Hill's "Outwitting the Devil," but the audiobook version, or Gay Hendricks' "The Big Leap." And on honestly, any given day, it's a coin toss. So it's one of those two, depending on the day.
What entrepreneur do you admire most, and why?
I admire my father the most, and not for any gooey, mushy reasons or anything. There's plenty of entrepreneurs that have made a lot more impact and a lot more income. My father came to this country without knowing the English language, wanted to become an entrepreneur. He was a tailor. He opened up a little tailor shop, and with that little tailor shop, over a 30-year period, bought himself a home, bought himself two rental properties, and put away a modest amount of money, a fair amount of money for himself, believe it or not, in plastic Folgers coffee jars. He's got it buried in his backyard because he doesn't trust the banking system. That's what happens when you're a communist and you don't trust the government. But my dad is a guy that I look up to, man, because he came to this country without having any ability to speak, and he took full advantage of it and has truly surpassed what I believe his potential was.
Absolutely. I love that, man, because like I said, I don't think a lot of Americans just really understand because we've always had it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, people have very different definitions of success, but if you got to define success for yourself, what would it be?
Four words: freedom, contribution, legacy, and peace of mind.
Love that. Well, I really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us, Bedros, and giving us so much value. Where can listeners connect with you? And I believe you have a 12-month mentorship program as well.
Correct. So the best place to connect with me is on Facebook, facebook.com/Bedros Koulian, or you could just go to my blog, bedroskoulian.com. And my mentorship program is easy enough. It's 12monthmentorship.com.
Awesome. Well, Bedros Koulian, thank you so much for being on the Create Your Own Life podcast today.
Jeremy, thank you so much. It was an opportunity that I didn't want to pass up, and I really appreciate you giving it to me.
Thank you. So I hope you enjoyed hanging out with Bedros Koulian today. He has probably one of the most inspirational stories that I've ever heard, you know, coming as an immigrant and really, you know, busting his ass to get everything he got, but then having such a high level of success and being so willing to share it with others. So you can check him out over at BedrosKoulian.com or Facebook.com/fitnessmarketing is actually the really easy way to find him. But if you want to check out the show notes for this episode and get all the links he talked about, including his mentorship program, that's going to be over at JeremyRyanSlate.com/Bedros. And Bedros is spelled B-E-D-R-O-S. Rock on, everybody, and I'll catch you for our short episode on Friday.
Now go out there and create your own life. Motivation may be great, but action is better. Get it done, my friends.